under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network in Brunswick at 91.3. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today as we face the issues. We always look forward to your dialogue and discussion, your input as to what your thoughts are, considerations about the broadcast, and what it says to you. We're talking about today a subject, an issue that I believe we need to carefully analyze, question, and make a determination. Will the real Christian please stand up? You know, formerly there was some kind of a program on television. They would give a background into some words, et cetera, et cetera. Now, they had three people that were there, and would the real John Doe, whatever the name may be, would you please stand up? And they'd give clues and so forth, and the three candidates, if you please, would give a little insight and thoughts for the people to vote on and determine, is that the real John Doe, or whatever the name may be? So today, the issue is, would the real Christian please stand up? Will the real Christian please stand up? There are a lot of folks today that are what's called a cultural Christian and not a real central biblicist Christian. And we need to talk about that because it is vital as we enter into the last 15, 16 days before this election. The real Christian's voice must be heard. The real Christian must stand up, be seen, and stop being silent. And ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues each and every day, let me remind you we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples, he said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. This is the reason I call it the truth book. It's the word of God. John 14:6, then Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. The scripture says, thy word is truth. Then in Psalms 117:2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. Forever. How long is forever? It's forever. But ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to truth, let's face it. Kamala Harris cannot identify truth. If Bret Baier had asked her on her interview, what is truth? How do you define truth? She would have given a word salad. So also with multitudes today cannot answer the question, what is truth? It is the truth of the word of God. The secularist George Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be factually true today. The closer we get, especially to this election season, the more we get into the world system and the woke community, we recognize that there is a bifurcation of truth. Many do not understand and cannot give you the definition of truth. I'm looking at a headline. Most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. And then the article opens with, talking about Webster's Dictionary, says truth is the body of real things. Truth is evidence. Truth deals with facts, actualities, and the state of being the case, fact, not fiction. Goes on to say in this article, 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that each person determines their own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. I've said before, and I'll say again at the risk of redundancy, a half-truth is a whole lie. And yet we have multitudes today in society that believe that somehow, some way you can bifurcate truth and call it truth. It's an impossibility to do so. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made a powerful statement. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. May I say that's needed today more than ever, I believe, in the history of our nation. In fact, it was Jan Hus, while being burned at the stake for telling the truth, screamed out, truth shall prevail. And may I say to you, that is the position that we ought to take, regardless of what side of the aisle it may come from. We need to call out that which is fictional and not factual, and call it a lie if it's a lie, and stand for truth. Jan Hus says, in one of his other quotes, do not be afraid to stand alone if it means standing for what is true. And that's where we need to be today. Sometimes it seems as though we are standing alone. Oftentimes it seems as though there's no one else on the face of the globe that stands for truth. But nevertheless, we still need to stand for the truth of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a benchmark. There's an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with Dr. Davis today. We're going to delve into a semi-Bible study. I think that's the way you can call it. Because we're going to look at the question, will the real Christian please stand up? We're going to talk about at the outset what some so-called Christians say. We're going to look at what the biblical record says about what makes a Christian, who is a real Christian. Then we're going to make a transition to the fact that if we are real Christians, how should we vote? How should we then live? Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 33:10. But ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing today so many voices. In fact, Dr. Davis, my wife, has said so many times, she says, and I quote, it's a wonder anybody can get saved because there's so many voices telling about how you become a Christian, how do you get saved. And so it's a fascinating analysis when we look at the society in which we're living in today and those that call themselves Christians and yet how they talk, how they walk, what they do, where they go, and especially now at election season where we see some that are calling themselves evangelicals for Kamala Harris. We're going to talk about that in a moment, but Dr. Davis, it's good to have you with us today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, and I thank and praise God for the opportunity to be here again on today. Amen, and I want to give honor to God the Father who's the head of my life and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to say good morning to my bride of 38 years.
Amen.
Amen. All my family and friends, amen, that are listening on today. Brother Greg Froman, amen, we're still praying for you. Amen. We're asking God to strengthen you and the family. I know that this seems like a critical time in your life, but God is still right there. So we want you to know, don't give up. Just trust in God. Amen. He's right there for you.
Amen.
Amen. And again, I do want to thank God for the opportunity, Dr. Youngblood, because my heart is really crushed at certain times.
Mm-hmm.
When I come in contact with people who are supposed to be connected to the family of God, and I find them not walking in faith.
Right.
This is the reason why I was so overjoyed when you said the subject for today will be, would the real Christian please stand up?
Amen.
Now, for me, when I see people that are walking contrary to what they're confessing or professing out of their mouth,
mm-hmm.
then this lets me know that to them, Christ must not be real.
That's right.
You cannot be a real Christian unless you believe that God is real, Christ is real, the Holy Spirit is real, the gospel is real, the word of God is real. I mean, all of these things has got to mean something to you.
Absolutely.
If it doesn't mean something to you, then of course you're going to take it with a grain of salt. So we're trying to steal you away from that on today, because let me read this one verse of scripture, amen, and I think this will connect with where we're trying to go at today. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 19 says, for the earnest expectation of the creature, that is the created order, mm-hmm, the created beings, amen, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Yes.
We know that we all were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, but Christ came and died and rose again to set us free from sin.
Yes.
So if that's not a real principle in your life, then of course you're not going to live right, mm-hmm, because it's not real. What Christ did doesn't count. Mean anything.
Are you telling me, Dr. Davidson, would this be the bottom line of what you just said? Church membership doesn't say that you're saved. Church membership doesn't guarantee salvation. Denomination doesn't guarantee salvation.
Amen.
You can be,
amen,
a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, and I say member of the Goose, the Loose, the Got Loose Club, and it still doesn't make you saved unless you know Jesus Christ as Savior,
amen,
and as Lord. That's,
amen,
what we're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen. Will the real Christian please stand up?
So let me add something else with that, you know, before you go down, right, into what you're saying. We not only want you to be real, we want you to be serious.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to give a definition after you come through in here. I'm going to tie in something from the scripture to let you understand that realness must be connected with seriousness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we can see serious biblical Christians all throughout the Bible. If we start with Moses, mm-hmm, and come on through with some of the other leaders, if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, there's a whole, what we call a hall of faith.
That's right.
People who were serious Christians who walked by faith.
Right.
And this is the type of time that we're living in now. It's calling for us to walk in faith, mm-hmm, and not by sight.
And as I tell people,
I believe the real Christians will stand.
Amen. And as I tell people, the faith that falters before the finish had a fatal flaw at the first.
Amen.
There are a lot of folks that say they're saved, and they simply do not walk like it, talk like it, act like it, or vote like it.
Amen.
That's where we're going to go today, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917.
Amen.
But voices today, ladies and gentlemen, are something that we need to understand is taking place. Voices that want to challenge our Christian heritage. Voices that want to challenge the Christian fundamentals of the foundation of our nation. Voices out there that want to challenge or some way negate or bifurcate our values and our beliefs and our morals as Christians. There's a large group in America, and I touched on it a moment ago in conversation with Dr. Davis, a number of people out there today calling themselves evangelicals for Kamala Harris. This group is headed by a lesbian female that calls herself the pastor of that group. And according to this group, they believe that Kamala Harris holds biblical values. Another so-called Christian voice says, the Bible was not written for 2024. In fact, let me just read you a little from that article, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about, would the real Christian please stand up? Look at the headline, transgender pastor says the Bible really wasn't written to instruct the world today. Dated October the 10th. A self-identified transgender pastor is explaining that her transgender lifestyle may not be in sync with the Bible, but that's all right, she said, as the Bible wasn't really written for 2024 anyway. The stunning conclusion comes from an individual, a woman representing herself as a man, who appears on CBS show talking about faith in transition. Ask about the Bible's clear definition of male and female and explanation of how God made them male and female, she simply went to the next level. Quote, it's hard to relate it in modern times because it wasn't written in 2024.
My
it was written for them then. When we read the scriptures that God created man and woman, yes, and God created everyone else also. Ladies and gentlemen, that's bifurcating truth.
Amen.
I think that woman that said that must have been Kamala Harris, but it wasn't. That's the word salad, though, that you hear coming out of Kamala Harris today. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time the church get real. I believe it's time we get real and recognize the real issues, the real values, and the fundamentals of the faith, and stand on what the Word of God says. By the way, Dr. Davis, lest I forget it, and prayerfully I'll remember it to remind our listeners further in the broadcast or before the broadcast closes today, this Sunday, from the pulpit at First Conservative Baptist Church, I'm going to be preaching a message, Lord willing, the world's greatest homecoming. The world's greatest homecoming. Think back in your mind the homecomings that we have as families. Think back in your mind the homecomings where people living in all far-flung places around the nation and across the globe that will fly in, drive in, or walk in, whatever it takes, to get to a family homecoming and rejoice together. But the world's greatest homecoming will not be until the rapture of the church.
Amen.
So
Amen.
The world's greatest homecoming, ladies and gentlemen, is the rapture, rapturus, the sudden seizure, the snatching away of the bride of Christ. I'll be preaching that message on Sunday morning at 10:30 at First Conservative Baptist. You're invited to come. Join with us. Love to have you. If you've never heard an in-depth study on the rapture of the church, I'm inviting you to come. Sunday morning at 10:30, First Conservative Baptist Church, I'll be preaching that message from the pulpit, the world's greatest homecoming. And I'm looking forward to having you to join us, ladies and gentlemen. But listen, we're talking about the asking the question, making the statement, or making the invitation, if you will. Will the real Christian please stand up?
Amen.
Today, Dr. Davis, we find, and most people don't recognize this, today, ladies and gentlemen, we're in a spiritual battle over the biblical centrality of the truth. It is the, and I tell people we need to have a central biblicist worldview. And now, I'm amazed, and they say that the best compliment you can have is for someone to copy what you're doing. There's another network that broadcast in this area and across the nation that's got a talk radio program, and rather than calling it Let's Face the Issues, that I believe they've heard this broadcast, and they're calling it Facing Issues of Today, and they talk about having a biblical worldview, and I've said that for the past 35 or 40 years, and so it's a central biblicist worldview. I've had those to ask, well, what does that mean? It means that we simply look at everything through the prism of the Word of God.
Amen.
As
Amen.
We look at what's happening in Israel, as we look at what is taking place in the Oval Office, as we see what is taking place in the moral declension in America, we look at it through the central biblicist worldview that is the prism of the Word of God.
Amen.
God's Word has already told us where we're going. God's Word has already given us the end chapter and the end of the story. God's Word has already told us where this whole world is headed, and we need to understand as we face the issues each and every day, we're looking at it through a central biblicist worldview
and
what God's Word says.
I mean, why would you say that? Why would you say the things about the Word of God that you say?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe, and this is just Brother Davis, the Word of God is timeless.
That's right.
There has never been a generation that ever lived on the earth that the Word of God didn't fit.
That's right.
Now, Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So this lets me know that the Word of God is correct. When we look at knowledge being correct information, then that lets me know that every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God is correct
information. Yes, no errors.
So all we have to do is just do it.
That's right.
Take the Nike approach. Do it.
Just do it. Just embrace it.
But the thing is, with this generation, so much falsehood and deceit is out there. My wife spoke one time. Her subject was, the deceiver is out there.
Mm-hmm.
The deceiver is here,
yes.
In other words.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're not careful, the Bible says that in these last days, the very elect will be deceived if possible.
That's right.
So what do we have to do? We have to do what you just got finished saying.
Right. Amen.
Be a central biblicist.
Absolutely.
Stick with the Word of God.
Absolutely.
Amen.
I'm looking at the Decision Magazine, October 2024 issue, page 3. And there's a quote from Winston Churchill that says, socialism is the philosophy of failure, the greed of ignorance, and the gospel of envy. The inherent virtue of socialism is the equal sharing of miseries, end quote. And then the article opens with, as we approach Election Day, November the 5th, Christian citizens have a responsibility to vote for leaders whose views most closely align with the Word of God. It goes on to state, the differences are stark on virtually every issue, even causing concern among many observers that progressives might seek to steer the nation towards socialism and increase governance control over the speech and actions of individuals, families, and businesses. The most important we must present a fervent call to prayer and remind that no matter what happens in this election, God reigns, His word rules forever.
Amen. Now, end quote. I'm glad you said that, because here's another thing I've been saying for the past few days. I had the privilege to be able to speak at a church just a few days ago on the same type of subject. Let me go back to the scripture, just two verses that I read. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Absolutely. Not just saved men and women.
All
men. That's unsaved and saved. "Teaching us," verse number 12, "that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." You see why I say the word of God is timeless? Because that verse tells us, verse 12, we should do these things in this present world.
That's right.
Now, this book was written a long time ago. Like you say, the person that you read about a while ago, name that was called, said that the Bible don't have any place in society, need to be rewritten, so forth and so on. Joel Osteen said the same
That's
thing.
Right.
Andy Stanley said the same
right.
thing. I mean, I don't know where these preachers are coming from. But here's that one verse that tells us, and it was written a long time ago, it fits our present day world right now, telling us we should live right.
Right. God's word does not have to be modified or in any way modulated, changed, refined, or updated.
Amen.
God's word is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God as it is today.
Amen.
And it is applicable yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever. And yet we have folks today, just as I read a moment ago, this article goes on to say, by the way, "For this rebellious woman, the word of God is insufficient because she thought she was born in the wrong body." So why not just add on to God's word, sorry, bud, God didn't create any sex beyond male and female. It's not a biological category. It is not an ontological category. It is not a theological category. God is God, and you are who God created you to be. And yet there are a lot of folks that are confused. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Your call is invited. Love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? And do we see what I would call the woke group today that's claiming to be Christian, claiming that Kamala Harris is a Christian, that she has faith, etc.? That's what we're talking about. And the bottom line is, how are we going to vote? Do we vote based on what someone says is a value that is not, and that is antithetical to the Word of God? Today we're in a spiritual battle, and I believe that spiritual battle is over the central biblicist worldview. Listen, we already know how the sodomite agenda pushes and what they're saying. In fact, I'm looking at a headline that I believe we need to recognize. Louisiana, Dr. Davis, has put the required the Bible, or required the Ten Commandments to be displayed. It says Louisiana classroom now requires the law to display the Ten Commandments. And it goes on to talk about the need to have the Ten Commandments in our classrooms. There's a need to get the Bible back into the hearts and the minds of our sons and daughters and grandkids in the classrooms. And I've said many times, and I didn't originate this statement, that if we would teach them in the grade school, grammar school, and high school about God, we could empty our prisons and not have to have Bibles given out in prison.
Amen.
It is a need today to have the Word of God in the hearts and the lives of individuals. Ladies and gentlemen, where to know those that believe in murder and yet claim to have a faith? Where to know, ladies and gentlemen, those that are claiming that abortion is okay and it's a woman's health choice? Where to know what the Bible says in relationship to that? We know that those with no biblical, moral, or ethical values, we already know that they're going to vote. We know that those that want to protect, quote, a woman's right to murder, where to know how they're going to vote. We already know, ladies and gentlemen, those that have no morals, no ethics, and no values are going to vote, for example, for Amendment 3 to put pot in the state of Florida. We already know those that believe that it's okay to kill a human being in the mother's womb, Amendment 4. We already know that they're going to vote for that. But my question and my challenge, Dr. Davis, today to our listeners, if you're a true Christian, if you're a real Christian, if you already know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, can you vote for yes on those issues? That's my position, ladies and gentlemen. So may I just postulate a question for our listeners? Ladies and gentlemen, is it possible to say that you're a Christian, biblical Christian, and vote for murder by way of abortion, vote for the butchering of healthy male and female body parts and call it transgenderism? Is it possible to say that you're a Christian and vote for an individual candidate that's running that pushes the LGBTQ sodomite agenda in our classrooms? Is it possible for a Christian to vote for a candidate that's going to push the destruction of our Bill of Rights, our right of religious liberties, and the freedom of speech? Ladies and gentlemen, in 2020, I'm told, I didn't count them, I'm going by the statistical data, I'm told that about 40 million Christians did not vote. And we're now in the last days before the 2024 election. I'm passionate about it because I believe, Dr. Davis, every Christian needs to vote. I'm looking at a headline, Ben Shapiro and John MacArthur discuss church, Jesus, and his return to biblical morality. Ben Shapiro and Christian pastor John MacArthur called for a return to biblical morality amid the plummeting church attendance across the United States of America. In this article, it says, a church that is faithful to Scripture, a synagogue that is faithful to Scripture, bears moral authority. MacArthur said, I mean, it exists to say, this is what the Lord said. This is what God requires. This is a divine mandate. This is the morality that leads to blessing and disobedience. And disregard for morality leads to God's cursing of a nation.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time we wake up, sit up, and as though cliche goes, smell the coffee. And to recognize that we need to return to a central biblicist worldview. And that simply means a biblical morality, a biblical value system that tells us, in fact, listen, I've had people say, well, the Bible doesn't tell a person how to vote. Yes, it does. We need to vote for that candidate that is more closely aligned with the Word of God. We need to vote for that candidate that we know will allow religious liberty to flourish. We need to vote for that candidate that we know will not destroy the morals, ethics, and the values of our sons and daughters and grandkids in the public school classroom. We need to vote for that candidate that we know recognizes that God created male and female, not he, she, and shim. We need to vote for that candidate that stands for the morality and the foundation values of a nation. Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we're witnessing today the undermining, the tearing down of the morals and the values in our nation. What frightens me is this headline. Millions of Christians are not planning to vote in November.
My God.
Millions of Christians are not planning to vote in November. This article reads in part, they don't want to be told how to vote, but they do want to know who they should vote for and how to view political issues from a biblical framework. This article reads, millions of Christians in the United States indicated in the study released on Monday that they are not likely to vote in the upcoming election in November, signaling a potential problem for the Republican Party. Just over half of the interviewees, 51%, in the Cultural Research Center Arizona Christian University study, who identified as people of faith, responded that they are likely to vote in the not likely to vote in the presidential race between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. The people of faith label is given to those who identified with a recognized religion such as Christianity and Judaism. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue our thoughts today as we ask the question, will the real Christian please stand up? We're going to take a top of the hour news break. Right after the break, we'll come right back. to face the issues. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
In Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online.